couple of blue check accounts going back and forth. Heinz Ketchup tweeting, hey, at Patrick Mahomes 5, you give us 57 touchdowns, we'll give you Heinz on your steak for life. He responded with the eyeball emoji and the delicious emoji. This kid's so cool. He's awesome. He should not be putting ketchup on mac and cheese, but he's awesome. We already covered that, but ketchup watch continues. As details break there, I will continue with that. So we start this third and final hour. We are live from the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Having a good day. We had Joe Thomas on back in hour number one. We talked Florida State basketball with Leonard Hamilton in hour number one. Second hour, we had a little fun. This hour, UAB head football coach Bill Clark joins me next segment. We're open right now. I ended the last hour by talking about Draymond Green and the fact that I think a lot of you just don't get this guy. I understand that he's polarizing. I know he gets under people's skin. But from a basketball standpoint, I don't think you understand what this guy does. Not only does on the floor, but does for that team and how underrated he still is. And I also made the point that what's going on with that team has happened to every single team in every single sport in the history of the world. This is not unusual. Even for a team as great as that team, even for a team as unselfish as that team, this is not unusual. And nor is it going to rip that team apart. In fact, I would argue that it's actually going to galvanize that team, bring that team together. Because if you're that team and you're in the midst of a dynasty and you're trying to make a three-peat, you're constantly looking for things to hang your hat on, things to motivate you. You're looking for chips. You're gathering chips, as Sean Casey would say. They're looking for things, and now they've got a thing. Now they've got a thing. Draymond actually spoke with the media, and he referenced that. Give it a couple of minutes so you can hear exactly what he talks about. But now they have that thing, and that thing's not going to rip that team apart. Listen to Draymond. It's going to bring that team even closer together.
I'm going to speak on this one time and one time only. You know, with what happened a few nights ago, you know, Kevin and I spoke. We're moving forward. I think there's no secret that I am the emotional player. You know, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I play with that same emotion. Sometimes it gets the best of me, and, you know, it doesn't work to my favor. I'm going to live with that, you know, because it works in my favor, to the good, as my resume speaks and this team resume speaks, more so than it doesn't. And so I'm never going to change who I am. I'm going to approach the game the same way that I always do. And, you know, like I said, we'll continue to move forward. And I've read a lot about how, is this the end of the run, or is it over, or did I ruin it, or did I force Kevin to leave? You know, at the end of the day, as I've said before, whatever Kevin decided to do, whatever Clay decided to do, whatever who decides to do, we had great years together, and I support everybody wholeheartedly, 100%. As a man, as a human being, you got the right to do what you want to do with your life. And so I'll never question that. But what you must know is nobody in this organization, from a player, not myself, not Kevin, not anybody else, is going to beat us, you know. So if you one of them other 29 teams in this league, you got to beat us. We're not going to beat us. We're going to continue to do what we do. And, you know, I'm sorry if that ruins everybody's stories. I know everybody got a job to do. I apologize for ruining y'all's stories if it did. If this only makes Kevin, myself, and the rest of my teammates stronger, that's what it's going to do. So, you know, you think you saw something before. Good luck with us now. Like, we're not going to crumble off of an argument. We're going to move forward. So that's all I got to say. Anybody want to talk about basketball? I'm here. If not, it's been real.
Credit Anthony Slater, The Athletic. I mean, I feel pretty good about me. I was said moments ago, that's literally exactly what I said, right? Didn't take a genius to see that. I mean, of course, he literally said exactly what I said. That it's going to galvanize the team, that he's a very emotional player, Sometimes those emotions get the better of him, but look at his resume. Yes, he runs hot, but he's the player that he is because of his emotion, and that you're not going to rip that team apart. And then maybe Kevin ultimately will go on, and if he does, that's fine. He doesn't begrudge anybody making a decision which is best for them or their family, but in the meantime, they're all on the same team. They're locked in on the same goal, and they want that goal. And now the outside, you know, real or not, they perceive that the outside is trying to tear them down, rip it apart. They're here to hate. It's just going to bring them closer together. They're still the team to beat, and they got together and they hashed it out. In other words, literally everything I said on that take. It still has to play out, but it will. You know, short of some kind of crazy injury, they are the team to beat. It's going to bring them closer together. It's not going to rip them apart. And can I tell you one more thing? If, in fact, Kevin Durant leaves, I don't know if he is, but if, in fact, he does leave, it's not going to be because of that. If he leaves, it's because he wants something different. If he leaves, it's because he wants to be the man someplace else. If he leaves, it's not going to be because of one November game where they argued over who got the last shot. Draymond was one of the guys who pushed hardest to bring Kevin Durant to Golden State. So that's pretty much exactly what I thought that he would say, which is why I had the take 5 minutes before he actually said that. That just did come down. All right, 1-800-636-8686. That's my take. What's your take? How do you think that plays out? Does that bring the team closer together? Do you accept what he was saying, or do you not buy it? Something else that a lot of you were on before the show even started. Le'Veon Bell. So the clock struck 4 on the Le'Veon Bell deadline day yesterday. There was so much oxygen wasted on trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Is this dude going to be tendered? Will he be tagged? Franchise? Transition? You know, after all the speculation, all the whack takes, all the complete and total misses on what this guy was going to do, people still want to step up to the plate and swing out their shoes. Yeah, because that worked out so well so far. Why don't we take a quick run through the reporting on Lev Bell's holdout and all the speculation. Remember? Remember when he was going to just skip training camp and then be there for week one? Remember when he was going to come back and join the team after the bye week? Remember how he was going to rejoin them after the trade deadline? Remember when he was running in the LA Fitness 5-on-5 and back in the Berg? He was only there so he could report before the deadline. Lev Bell has gone for nearly 8,000 yards from scrimmage in 62 career games. But my man has never been so elusive, ever. Yet everybody is sprinting to Twitter or the nearest hot mic to get in on the what comes next sweepstakes. Like, yo, I missed on my last 9 predictions on what this cat's going to do, but I totally have a grasp. I totally know what's going to happen next. Sure you don't. About the only thing we know for sure is what Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said in that one-line statement. Quote, I want to confirm that Le'Veon Bell did not sign his franchise tender today, and as a result, he will not be eligible to play football during the 2018 season. So, lost in all of this speculation is the actual team that this dude ghosted. A Steelers team that's on a 5-game heater. A Steelers team that just dropped a 50-burger on Carolina. A 6-2-1 team with 7 games left. A team that clearly does not need this guy. And even more importantly, a team that clearly did not want this guy and could not wait for the whole thing to end. You don't believe me? Then you did not see how hard they partied and looted when the deadline officially came and went. Like, I know Cam Hayward had talked about bringing confetti to the facility to celebrate that deadline. I just didn't know that he was serious when he said it. Here's what the Steelers team captain said on Le'Veon Bell deadline morning. Quote, hopefully it ends with confetti. I'm bringing the confetti to the facility either way, and there's going to be a bottle of champagne, and we're going to treat it like New Year's Eve, if he shows up or not. Well, come to find out, that was literal, because these dudes did party like a ball was dropping on Times Square. And then they ripped open this dude's locker and they straight looted it.
I appreciate the click, my guy, man, you know what I'm saying? But I hope you the best, man. Wish you success, my guy. But appreciate the click, man. I'm taking it all on for now, bro. Much love.
What are you going to do with him?
Man, I hope you get that dead leg right.
Yo, bro, your funny, man.
Trying to get that dead.
What that was the Steelers linebacker Bud Dupree grabbing a pair of Jordans out of Bell's locker and throwing them on for size, and he was not the only one. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, quote, players removed Bell's nameplate atop his locker, and then a bunch of them plundered it. They divided amongst themselves the many football shoes that had piled up inside it, along with other stuff. End quote. I got to tell you, man, that's different. That's really different. But then it was different when during that holdout, guys were talking about his money. You know, one man never talks about another man's money, but they did. That was really unusual. And this is like next level unusual. This is like savagery. So if you were wondering if this was just business or personal, it might have been business for Lev, but it looked pretty personal to his teammates. Check out this quote from offensive captain Marquise Pouncey. Quote, I don't talk about players who are not on the team. So if you guys want to ask me any of those questions, you're going to waste your time. Offensive lineman David DeCastro, even more straight to the point. Quote, it's kind of nice that it's over. We could just move on. Keep getting James some more yards. Keep winning games. End quote. That sounds pretty personal to me. That's not, we wish Lev the best. We understand what he did. We'll always miss him. That's like, yo, man, give me his shoes. Give me that nameplate. They're fighting over who gets to rip the nameplate off his locker. Then again, I understand why they're partying, right? Maybe they should be. Maybe we all should be. Our national nightmare of will he or won't he is finally over. But listen, like I said yesterday, they don't need this guy. And judging from their reaction in the locker room and the fact that they straight looted his locker, they don't want him either. I don't blame him. But, I don't blame Le'Veon Bell for doing what he felt he had to do. But then again, you can see where those guys would be tired of it. How sick do you think all of the guys who were there were of answering questions about the one guy who wasn't there? And especially if they thought that he misled them about coming in. And on top of that, they don't need him. They don't need him to contend for and possibly win a Super Bowl. Yeah, they partied. Yes, they looted. That's what people do after a big win. They party and they loot. And that was a pretty big win for the Steelers, at least in their mind. And not just for them, but for all of us. Because if these guys are busted up about not getting him back for a stretch run, they've got a really funny way of showing it. Then again, why not go through his stuff? He obviously didn't want it. He left it there. That's a different look, though. You usually don't see that. Again, business is business. Guys do what they do with their contracts. One man's not talking about another man's money. Yet they couldn't wait to talk about it, did they? Could they? It's a really different thing. But again, if you want to talk about what's going to galvanize the team, these guys are all saying, good. More for James. More wins for us. I think they're rallying around this. They're not wondering about, can we go on a stretch run without this guy? They're rallying around the fact that this guy's gone, and they're taking his stuff. When we come back, Bill Clark, UAB head football coach, joins us. Kyle in Green Bay wants to let me know that it's the 2-year anniversary of the Jumpman call. Okay. Keep that in mind. Building pros, listen up. If you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you're going to need for all of your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. If you're worried about selection and availability, you do not need to be because Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet of flooring available, over 100,000 square feet in stock in most of their stores. And they do stock professional-grade adhesives. Underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, and grout. So you get exactly what you need when you have to have it. And if you're too busy to pick it up yourself, that's also not a problem. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job. And with LL Pro Plus, you can even get yourself a business line of credit. Put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For you. Good job, James Kelly. All right, welcome back. We are talking UAB football right now. We are joined by the head football coach at UAB, Conference USA Coach of the Year last season. UAB football, you might recall, was shut down in 2014. It resumed play last season. My guest led UAB to a Conference USA West Division title this year. UAB is 9-1. They're 7-0 in conference. They're number 25 in the coaches poll, and they've got a big one Saturday. They're at Texas A&M. Bill Clark is my guest. Bill, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Really good. Bill, so on Saturday, you beat Southern Miss 26-23 in overtime on a 17-yard TD run by Spencer Brown. I want to get into Brown and his significance to the program in a second, but you went to him three straight times in overtime, and he broke through for the touchdown on third down. Can you tell me, what did you think, what was going through your mind when you saw him score on that play?
Relief, really. I mean, it was you know, we had played really, really well the game before, and Southern Miss is kind of like us, you know, had a really good defense, and it's a rivalry game, all of the above, you know, obviously playing for the Western Championship, and had been, we thought we had it put away, give them credit, they came back, and here we are in overtime, and when we held them to a field goal in the first possession, you know, I told our offense coordinator, Coach Vincent, I said, look, we're running it three times, and Spencer's probably going to run it all three. And it was third and two, and he popped out of there, and they had walked everybody up on the line. And I don't know if there's a word to describe seeing him run in the end zone, but how great a feeling it was.
Bill Clark's my guest. Bill, what I'm hearing from you is, like, essentially you're saying, we're going to run the ball, and I don't care if they know we're going to run the ball. If that's the case, what's that say about the confidence you have in your offensive line and in Brown with the game on the line that you don't care, you're going to run it no matter what?
Well, that's kind of where we've been all year. You know, we want to throw the ball, and our quarterback, A.J. Erdley, has done a really good job. He got banged up in the North Texas, and we brought our redshirt freshman, Tyler Johnson, in. He led us to two wins. And but give them credit. They had really said, we're going to take your running game away. And it was just – I mean, that's how much confidence we have in Spencer. You know, he was a freshman All-American for us. Our O-line is and tight ends have done such a terrific job. You know, we've led our conference in rushing, and it was their turn. We've been really good in the fourth quarter, and so it was good to see, you know, kind of our strength show up.
UAB head coach Bill Clark joining us. So your strength shows up like that, and the win means that you clinched the Conference USA West Division title in only your second season back. I understand you've got more work to do still yet, but wow, I mean, what kind of emotions do you feel when you hear that, West Division champions?
You know, it's hard to, you know, in our business, I always relate it to Christmas Day. You know, you win the game, and you don't really want to go to sleep because, you know, when you wake up the next day, you've got an opponent like a Texas A&M sitting there waiting on you. But truly, this has been a terrific week. You know, we've had a smile on our face. We're working hard. And, you know, we've got a huge challenge in front of us and still more to go after that with the conference championship looming ahead. But it has been a terrific week. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at this trophy on my desk right now.
Nice. Going back to Brown for a minute. So he came to the UAB football camp back in the day when you had the old facilities. What did you think of him when you first saw him? And then what did you think when you saw him run a 40?
It was amazing. I mean, really, we're sitting here on these grass fields, you know, that weren't exactly a super hard surface. It wasn't like we were running on a track. And there's this 6'1" kid who's about 235 pounds. And they say, Coach, you got to see this. And I literally looked down and it said 4'5", too. And Well, let's run it again, 4-5-3. Let's run it again, 4-5-2. So you're offered. And, you know, we offered him on the spot. He had been a linebacker. They'd converted to a running back. And then, you know, the kind of the rest is history. He stayed with us. We stayed with him first of summer camp. He's down there with the threes and fours and sometimes going against the one defense that we had at the time and running through them. And, you know, then he's moved to the ones pretty quickly and has such a great year last year. And, you know how it is when people know about a guy. He had a little bit of a foot injury that he doesn't talk a lot about, and he's had to battle through all year. But just been a real warrior for us. And, of course, the O-line and tight ends have done a good job as well.
UAB head football coach Bill Clark joining us. You know, Bill, the program is ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 2004. When you look at where the program was, what does it mean to be back in the top 25?
Well, you know, for us, it's just such a great recognition. And, you know, when you're in the business of recruiting, everything that says you're viable, that you're doing a good job, you know, that's important to recruits. And you know, for us, really when we came in here, I think kids love Birmingham. They like, you know, they loved our campus. You know, we have the older stadium that you know now. We're fixing to have a brand-new stadium in 2021. But these are the things that are important. I mean, it's a recognition of where we are and what this team has done. Obviously, you know, you never can rest. And, you know, that does create for the next opponent, that's something they want to play for. But I'm so proud of this group. I'm proud of the city and our alumni and all the people that gave to really, you know, just help fund this program and bring us back.
All right, so you got a major opportunity coming up, a big challenge on Saturday, Texas A&M and College Station. When you look at the game and the opportunity that it presents for the program, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, I think first, we got to be realistic. You know, we know we're playing an SEC school. We know we're playing on the road. We've got other big games ahead. But, you know, we are going to compete. I think that's what I've seen out of these guys, that, you know, they hadn't backed down from anybody else. They want to kind of see where they match up. You've got a great head coach. And, you know, I mean, watching them against Ole Miss last week, they played terrific. The few games they've lost, you know, have all been super close against other SEC opponents or Clemson. So, you know, we know what's in front of us, how hard it's going to be and how tough. And, you know, hopefully we're hanging around near the fourth quarter and we can see what happens.
You know, Bill, you and I have talked a number of times over the years, and it was always clear to me that you had a vision for UAB football and what it might be. And now it's coming to fruition. But having said that, did you ever think that you'd be 9-1 and ranked in the top 25 in just your second season back of playing football?
No, that would probably exceed all my, you know, kind of my wildest expectations to, you know, to be sitting here where we are. And it really is a dream come true. And just proud to be here.
Finally, then, you and I talked about why you stayed with the program. That's something you and I have covered. When there wasn't even a program, Tommy Brigham, who played a role in the resurrection of that program, told my colleague Dennis Dodd with CBS, quote, "I'm sort of surprised Bill stuck around. You look back, either he was crazy or he knew something." So let me ask you, were you crazy or did you know something?
Probably both. You know, and I say this all the time, anybody that kind of gets in this profession has got to have something wrong with them. But not really. I mean, this to me is a calling. It is truly all those things. You know, I was an old high school coach and got into it for, you know, the kids and being around them and just really love of the game. And, you know, I really felt like that's what this was. This was kind of a calling, and our city and our school needed us. And, you know, I'm just like every other coach. I'm competitive and I want to win. And, but I think this was kind of bigger than that. This was all about, you know, bringing this thing back for this community that needed us. And that's kind of what I felt. But yeah, the crazy part is probably true also.
There you go. UAB 9-1 this season, 7-0 in the conference. And they are number 25 in the coaches poll. Very big one coming up on Saturday at Texas A&M. Bill, it's so good to have you back on the show. Good luck this weekend. And thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
Great having you back, Bill. Thank you. Bill Clark, it's an amazing story. An amazing story to rebuild that thing the way he has. And now they're top 25, and they're at A&M Saturday. Time now for a sports update. One last segment. And in that last segment, I've got a few things I want to cover, but it's a good opportunity for you. Call now, 1-800-636-8686. Here is the aforementioned sports update. Up all night. you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong. Like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. You probably know it's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. All right, really quickly, if you're on hold, stay there. I'm taking telephone calls. Definitely before the end of the program. I don't want to lose track of this fact because this will not jump the day. The morning after the first game of the NBA season, which was last Wednesday to be specific, I talked about Zion Williamson and what he did in his first college game. As a reminder, all he did was go 11 for 13, 28 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and a block, and he did it all in 23 minutes. What he really did was blow the minds off of just about everybody in the hoops world. And he did it again last night. Not just with 21 points, not just with 9 rebounds, not just with 10 of 12 shooting from the field, but with this. Go ahead and roll it.
Duke is 11 of 17 from the field. They've opened up a 19-point lead, and now another steal from Reddish. And a 4-on-3 run out, and Zion! High above the rim to rip it down!
To quote the great Kevin Harlan, with no regard for human life. Last week, the country met Zion. Last night, Zion met the roof. Roof, Zion. Zion, the roof. You got to run that back one more time.
Duke is 11 of 17 from the field. They've opened up a 19-point lead, and now another steal from Reddish. And a 4-on-3 run out, and Zion! High above the rim to rip it down!
I don't even know how to do justice to that if you haven't seen that. That's 285 pounds of human going into the rafters and coming down with a dunk. At least I think it's 285 pounds of human because I've watched it about a dozen times. And I'm still not sure that guy is human. I mean, literally, there's ridiculous, and then there's whatever the hell that was. One more time for everybody in the back.
Duke is 11 of 17 from the field. They've opened up a 19-point lead, and now another steal from Reddish. And a 4-on-3 run out, and Zion! High above the rim to rip it down!
If you're really good with the remote, or you saw the freeze frame on Twitter, you saw the best part of that dunk, his head was even with the rim. If the hoop had eyes, it would be staring eyeball to eyeball with it. I repeat, this guy's eyes were 10 feet above the ground. He's listed at 6'7", 285. People who weigh 285 should not be getting up like that. He's got slim Sean Kemp's hops with portly Sean Kemp's weight. Except Zion's not portly. This dude's just scary. If that was his only dunk of the night, hell, if that was his only basket of the night, that would still warrant a take on this show, but it wasn't because there was also this.
Jackson guarded by Zion, tried to cross him over, could not, now has to get rid of it. Cross court, tipped by Jones, taken away by Duke. Jack White collects, a hit ahead for Trey Jones, over the shoulder pass, right to Zion, flying in for two more.
There was that, and then there was also this.
So inbounding is Jackson on that right baseline, tries to lob it up top. Not a great pass. O'Connell takes it away. Here's Zion, a free run to throw it down with the right hand.
It was the most amazing play. I mean, not even putting it on the ground. This guy is a truly unreal and unique athlete. And if you have not seen him yet, you have not seen anything like him. But don't take my word for it. Check out former LSU tight ends coach, Eric Mateos. He offered Zion a scholarship to play in Death Valley. He told ESPN, quote, "I thought, hell, why not? He's probably the best tight end ever to live." End quote. Here's another thought from the football coach. Quote, "If he's 285, you're talking a rare specimen. Julius Peppers type of freak. I used to think that Jadeveon Clowney was the biggest freak I ever saw. Zion probably brings the same or better athleticism based on what I've seen." I mean, like, we're not even a week, maybe a week into Zion's college career. He's already been mentioned in the same breath as LeBron James, Julius Peppers, and Jadeveon Clowney. Three of the craziest athletic freaks ever. And if you told anyone that a college freshman would be compared to those guys, they'd look at you like you were insane. And they'd be right to do so. And so you played them a video of that dunk, and that would end all the questions. And it raises so many more. Like, Here's my question, or here's my answer to all of them. Yes. Yes, he's unfair. Yes, the NCAA needs to change the rules for this guy. Yes, I could do a take on Zion every single day, and it would never get old. Yes, Zion not only lived up to the hype, he smashed it. Yes, if I owned an NBA team, I would tank for Zion. I would tank so hard. I'd be losing games by 50 just to make sure I had a chance of landing this guy. Yes, I can't wait to see what he does next. And no, as long as I've done this, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone or anything like Zion. This guy is amazing. Incredible. Let's go to the phones. Probably not amazing or incredible, but I promised I would. Oh, looky here, a lady clone. Let's go to Bellingham. Wendy. Hey, Wendy, what's up?
Hey, Rome, it's Wendy in the 360. Hey, I got a catsup comment. So when I put catsup on my hash browns, it bumps into my scrambled eggs, which tastes really good. But sometimes the catsup touches the syrup that's run over from my pancakes, and that tastes really bad because no one wants sweet and sour for breakfast. Go Cougs and Mustache Nation.
Wow, Wendy. There's a lot to unpack there. Gave me some things to think about there, Wendy. All right, so Wendy called up. Was she going with catsup? You say tomato, I say tomato. You say catsup, I say ketchup. Either way, her catsup sometimes inadvertently runs into her eggs when she applies it to her hash browns, and it tastes pretty good. However, it sometimes runs into her maple syrup, and it doesn't taste good because she doesn't want sweet and sour for breakfast. War Mustache Nation. That was kind of weird. Hey, listen, I don't care where your ketchup runs onto what part of your plate. It should never run on to a non-potato item if you're over the age of 7. Unless it's a hot dog, and yes, that's okay. Or it's a hamburger, and that's okay too. In Hot Dog Nation, don't come up in here and say that's a reason to go and that you never put ketchup on a hot dog. Let me say this one more time. Until you can tell me exactly what is in a hot dog, do not tell me what's on a hot dog. And I don't give a damn what you put on your hot dog, so why do you care what I put on my hot dog? And honestly, Wendy, why are we talking about where your ketchup runs into on your plate? That was kind of weird. Let's go to Green Bay this time. You know I love me some Wisconsin. 2 years ago, I got this call. I didn't know it was 2 years ago because they all start to run together. 2 years ago, I received this telephone call. This guy was calling the show, I think, for the first time, and he was nervous, really nervous. Look what happens when he tries to address me by name. In Green Bay, Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Oh, man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
Right now, that sounds like that went really badly. That sounds like that went really badly. But to fully understand that and how badly that went for this guy, we got to break this thing down in super slow-mo reverse angle. Look at what this guy did to himself. You want to talk about impaling yourself on the jungle wall. Listen to what this guy did to himself by trying to utter the word Jim. Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Drew. Oh, man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
It's going great, Kyle. How are you? How in the world did you ever get from Jim to Drew Jumpman Gillett? I thought that'd be the end of that guy. But he was resourceful. He was resilient. He had game. He had heart. He bounced back. He went to school on that. He got better and better and better. And the next thing you know, he shows up in Minneapolis on Radio Row, gets my signature, and turns that into Jungle Ink. He gets tattooed. Then he made this road trip out west and met up with clones. Had such a good time, he ran out of money and slept in his car 3 days. And then somehow made it back to Wisconsin. then through a tailgate at a Packer game, a clone stock. And I know people who showed up. I don't know if he knows it. I know people who showed up for it. This guy's had an amazing run, and now come to find out it's been 2 years since he made that ill-fated call. Let's check in. Kyle in Green Bay. Broham. Kyle, what's going on? How are you? Happy anniversary, bro.
Drew Jumpman, Jill, happy anniversary. It's been a wild 2 years, I'd say. Man, I started off meeting you and Hawk. I was one of the best. That's probably the highlight of my 2018, I got to say that for sure. So I appreciate that. And then my road trip turned into a radio TV sitcom. That was the highlight of my summer. That was awesome. So I got another trip planned. I'm hitting Buffalo in a couple weeks. Me and Rick are going to a Sabres game. I think it's December 18th. If anyone wants to join, I'm hitting Toronto and Indy on my way back to the Giants-Colts game. And as this whole team ketchup thing, I'm team mayo. I put mayonnaise on everything deep fried. I know the Canadians are going to take a couple fat jokes at me, but I'm loving my dad bod. I'm loving my six-pack, and I still pull better-looking chicks than both of them. So here's the year three, Romy, and I'll talk to you soon. Let's go Giants.
Good job, Kyle Rackham. My man, of course you put mayo on everything. You're from Wisco. So he's going to Buffalo to check out Rick, and they're going to a Sabres game. I meant to ask him, dude, are you going to check out the Goos? Rick in Buffalo. That's an interesting pair. Rick in Buffalo and Kyle in Green Bay. I wonder if they're going to go smash people in the face and call people names. Hey, Tyler, you D-bag. Have you ever even heard the Goo Goo Dolls? Rome was talking about how he was driving around and the song Long Way Down came on. Have you ever heard that? I didn't think so, a-hole. So Rick and Kyle are going to run now. Kyle in Rick and Buffalo's winger. Didn't expect that. So he's gearing up for year number three. We're banging telephone calls. Let's take another one. Orion in Waterford. Orion, what's going on?
What's going on, boss?
What's up?
So I don't get how every Steeler doesn't have Le'Veon's back. I don't get how every running back in football doesn't have Le'Veon Bell's back. If you play a devalued position in the NFL, how do you not want to see this guy get paid? A rising tide raises all boats, Romy. It doesn't make any sense. I cannot believe it's happening. War Machine Head, one of the greatest live bands I have ever seen in my life. Out.
All right, so you got two different things there. I mean, if I want to take that seriously, like that's a real call. Yeah, I'm sure every running back is hoping that this guy gets paid because it is a devalued position. And he could have played for 14-5, chose not to. So clearly he's going to try and get that. In his mind, he's worth that or more. He'll look at Todd Gurley and that deal once it's done. And he'll say, I'm worth that too because I'm a different guy. I'm not a running back. I'm a hybrid. I'm a receiver and a running back. I'm their best running back. I'm their second best wide receiver. I'm different. Pay me. I understand that argument. I don't know if I agree with the argument, but I understand the argument. And I understand why every running back would want this guy to get paid. However, why do you think that every Steeler should have his back? I think I'm a little surprised that they reacted the way they did publicly to his holdout. I'm a little surprised that they reacted the way they did yesterday when they looted his locker and plundered his nameplate. I'm a little surprised by that, but I'm not surprised that they're put off. They were waiting on this guy. They thought that he was coming in. They may have even been led to believe by the guy that he was coming in, and then he did not. And most of all, I know why they're put off. Athletes hate this, and I know why they do. They don't want to have to answer questions about somebody else who's not there. They don't want to answer questions about somebody else who's not there doing what they're doing to get ready. Of course, they got sick of that. And then they got sick of the guy. Tweetin' Tom tweets, cats up. Regards, Perkins waitresses.
What's that?
Get it? Cat sup?
What's that?
This guy tweeted, cat sup. Cat's up. Signed Perkins waitresses. You know, almost clever.
What's that?
Cat's up.
What's that?
Cat's up.
What's that?
If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, check this out. Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier with LL Pro Plus. It's their new pro services team. It allows you, the pro, gives you exclusive deals, services for all your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Thanks to Joe Thomas, Leonard Hamilton, Bill Clark. Good day from you callers. XR4TI. Thought I did a pretty good job today. Have an amazing night. Check you right back here tomorrow. We're out.